Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the hoarding voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. How are we?
Not too shabby. Richard, you?
Very well. Hoarding. Explain.
Yes. Well, I thought I would bring this up because it's not often, it's rare, in fact, that we talk about our private lives on this podcast because, quite frankly, who cares? Nobody cares. But
and yours is quite sordid.
Well, yes. To bring it back to football. Or footballing terms, let's just say a breakdown in communications, a rift in the camp has meant I've been sent for an early bath and forced to find pastures new, and that has somehow found me at Richard Lee's former apartment.
Yep, indeed, you are occupying the West Wing currently. I wish that were the case. No, you are in the former apartment, of course, and that means we are now neighbours as well, because I actually moved about 50 yards round the corner, so we are now officially neighbours. It's nice.
We are, and I say hoarding.
Yeah, go on.
Well, yesterday, my friend, I was just sorting out the flat, trying to make it a bit nicer than it previously was, you know, because of the previous tenant, and I should say that I was fiddling about on the bed. That sounds terrible. I don't mean that. I was trying to find some storage, okay? And I found some storage. And in that storage, there was all kinds of junk. And do you know what I found in particular?
Go on. He's reaching into his bag.
A big, big box full of this.
DVDs, yes, the goalkeeping workout. I wondered where I'd put them. Yes, that is right. For those who don't know, I did do a goalkeeping workout DVD back in the day. That must have been a good 12 years ago. And I, in my wisdom, had 5,000 printed up, thinking that it was going to be very popular. I thought it'd be along the lines of Joe Wicks. You know, who wouldn't want to do a goalkeeping workout? Turned out most people.
So there were hordes of these under the bed. I'm just going to read the foreword, if you can call it that, on the DVD. This is from Ben Foster. This is a fantastic DVD. It's different to anything I've come across, and I have no doubt this will have a positive impact on goalkeeping everywhere. How much did you pay Ben Foster to say that?
Okay, the truth is I wrote that and asked Ben if he was all right for me to put his name next to it, but it did actually get played. So that was, I always remember at Watford, and I went into the gym one morning, and I didn't know people had knew that I'd actually done this DVD. So I walked into the gym, and it was a bit unusual because the whole squad and staff were in the gym. And as I got in, I realized, I looked up on the big screen and they were playing the DVD, and they were enjoying it, let's say that.
I mean, we follow you in drills that will improve your power output, improve muscle memory on basic and advanced technical movements, and within a short space of time, you will feel your game and confidence levels hit new heights, as well as being in the best physical shape of your life! Exclamation mark.
Well, there you go. I think we've just made a few sales. So look, guys, if you do want one of these workout DVDs, I mean,
well, I was going to say, we've got hundreds of them now, so these can be giveaways. Mm. We're going to try and think of a competition that you can win.
Do you know what?
The Richard Lee goalkeeping workout DVD.
Don't even think we need a competition. Look, if you want one, just get in touch and we'll send one through. It'd be nice to have the space again.
Okay, we've got plenty coming up. There was all kinds of action. European football returned, didn't it, this week, Richard? So Champions League, Europa League tonight. Perhaps we'll comment on that next Monday. There was also some action in the EFL and a bit of Premier League to boot. But first, some correspondence. And I thought this was appropriate considering it is the return of European football this week. We've had a WhatsApp in. This is from an Italian named Eric Salmaso or Salmaso. And he is a goalkeeper for Stockport Cosmos, and he's been living in England for almost 3 years. Really enjoys the podcast. Thanks for the hard work you're doing. I will attach my question in an audio. Here is the question.
Hi, I would like to know what do you think about different type of technical schools between nations. because I come from Italy, and in Italy we have a really technical base type of training, and I've noticed that some of the Italian goalkeeper coaches almost despise when a goalkeeper does the spread. What do you think? In Italy, you used to attack the ball face forward, and some coaches really don't like when a goalkeeper does the spread. And it's a thing that I really see in other countries like Germany or England. The goalkeeper used to do the spread much more. I would like to know what you think about it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for that fantastic question. And it's something that it's an interesting question because I think one of the criticisms sometimes of English goalkeepers in terms of how we work, and I was certainly guilty of this, is that when you do a training session, you want to feel like you've done a training session. You know, I used to love it when I'd come off dripping in sweat, worked hard, mud up and down me. But often with goalkeeping, it is about the small details. It's about getting the small intricate details, the technical details right, and you're not necessarily going to get that when you're just working a keeper over and over and over. And I do think you see, I think we might have touched on this on a previous podcast, different countries produce different types of goalkeepers. Now, I think if you were to go back 20 odd years in England, I think you would have seen a similar type goalkeeper come through, and they were often quite big, quite stocky, quite solid, I'd say. And I think the style of goalkeeping in England has changed. We're in a bit of a transitional period where you're seeing lots of younger goalkeepers coming through that are now obviously very good with their feet. They are being trained in a very different way to how the older generation were trained. And I think certainly from different countries, you see different styles and different things coming forward. I fully agree with what he says in regards to diving head first as opposed to spreading at times. And I think that we've seen that shift in recent years where a lot of goalkeepers will naturally go into a long barrier or a spread as opposed to trying to meet the ball 50-50. And in fact, we've touched on it a couple of times recently, haven't we, with a couple of goals that have gone in where you just feel, could the goalkeeper have actually got there, met the ball at the same time and made that save? So I certainly think from a coaching point, I would recommend that. I know different goalkeeper coaches are different. I also think that when it comes to training and playing, there is an element of people say you should train as you play. I agree with that. I think when you play as a goalkeeper, something switches where you would do anything to keep the ball out the net. And you'll often see injuries because of that. The bravest goalkeepers will get impact injuries from diving in. I think when it comes to training, there needs to be an element of being that little bit more sensible. And I'd love to hear what people think of that. Because again, I know a lot of people will disagree and say, no, you should train as you play. And even in training, you dive in and you get that 50-50. I think there is, certainly as you get a little bit older, you're able to have that switch of this is how I train, still to a high intensity. But when it comes to a game at that point, it is all or nothing. I think another thing that I can add to this is I'm aware that Watford do have an Italian goalkeeper coach, and Rob Elliott's one of the lads I work with, and he's been giving me quite a bit of feedback on the kind of sessions they're doing, and he's loved them. They are very technical, very technical. He says a lot of the time, a lot of thrown serves where they'll really be breaking down the technique and going into the technique, and it's a bit unusual for him because again, he's kind of come through a similar schooling that I did where you would work and work really hard, where he says some days you're not necessarily coming off dripping in sweat, but you feel like you've done a session that has really worked you technically and made you think a slightly different way. So look, in short, and I know it's quite a long-winded answer, I think there are elements of all the different countries, all the different techniques that you see that are lauded in different countries that in time are starting to come together, and certain goalkeepers are starting to take on different attributes from different countries, from different coaches. And in a perfect world, that's what you would do. You would have the ball playing skills of some of these Brazilian goalkeepers that you see. You'd have the athleticism, flexibility of maybe the Spanish. You'd have the mentality of maybe the German. You'd have the bravery maybe of the English, for instance. And I think then you combine a lot of that together, and I think you create a super keeper. A super keeper. I'm trying to think of what you like, the Terminator of goalkeepers, I think.
The Robo keeper. Mm. There you go. I once actually did a piece on the Robo keeper. Perhaps that is a podcast for another time. Actually, it's a good story, that. But I'll tell you that another time, Richard. Thank you for that, Eric. That's a really good message there. Really good WhatsApp, too. Keep them coming. Very easy to get in touch with us on Twitter at GK Union, hello@goalkeepersunion.net, or on our phone number via WhatsApp, as Eric did, 07503673020. On with the show, Richard.
Let's do it.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Starting in the Champions League, Richard, I think we'll start in the Champions League. Leipzig 0, Liverpool 2, and it's 50 up for Alisson. A half century of clean sheets in all competitions for the Brazilian at Liverpool.
Very good. And this, for me, was a pleasing display. We touched on the previous couple, and I made quite a big point of sometimes when something can shift, maybe when the tide can turn, it can be quite difficult to get yourself back on track. But I thought this performance was a very calm one. You know, you talk about the kind of game you'd want to have to show that you haven't been rattled. And he's bounced back very quickly here. Now, you hope that you can carry that on, of course, moving back into league form. But I thought to get that clean sheet, not an easy place to go. Fantastic result for the team. Couple of solid saves as well, which were good without being extraordinary. But no, I just thought, again, and body language for me, I talk about a lot. I just thought that he certainly looked like the Alisson that we've seen for the majority of the time.
Yeah, he did indeed. Peter Galashi as well, former Liverpool goalkeeper, of course. Quite the eventful evening for him. A couple of good saves and a comedy moment where he landed headfirst into his own net.
Yeah, do you know what? I've done this myself before and I ended up coming off injured where essentially I was running back towards my goal. I think it was a similar moment. I dived back to make the save and I don't think I even made the save from memory. I think the ball actually went in and I've landed. There's a bar often that you find where the net kind of goes down. There's a bar along the floor and I landed on that bar and really hurt my shoulder and I had to come off Coventry City away, in fact. I even remember, I think it was at Highfield Road back in the day.
Wow, that is a long time ago.
Long time ago, yeah, it really was. I came off twice there, actually. I broke my cheek there as well, and I think, yeah, that wasn't good. So when I saw that, I was actually quite surprised he was able to get up as quick as he did, because it was a real awkward landing as he'd gone in. But look, you have to do it. He's running back towards the goal. He's not sure whether it's going to dip in or not. So, of course, he has to cover it, which he does, and he's gone fully. And, of course, there's only so far in the goal you can go, and it was an awkward landing.
Okay, Porto 2, Juventus 1. Now, the first goal here scored by Mehdi Taremi at 61 seconds. Quite a remarkable situation. BT Sport commentator Darren Fletcher said Wojciech Szczęsny is at the centre of it straight away. Matt Smith on the BT Sport highlight suggested that Szczęsny had a bit of the Alissons. And Chris Sutton said maybe Szczęsny could have been a bit stronger in the challenge. Now, in fairness to all three, they and the pundits at halftime in the game did argue it was more the fault of Rodrigo Bentancur rather than Szczęsny.
Completely the fault of the defender in this one. I've watched this so many times. I can't, even first viewing, I can't understand why they'd blame Szczęsny at all. Because it's just a mental moment. I don't know what, I don't know what he was thinking. He's obviously just trying to lay it back for Szczęsny to boot it upfield, but you know, just left it short. It's as simple as that. And then at that point, I think he's gone in for a challenge. He's gone in reasonably brave and he has tried to win the ball and just lost the challenge. But no fault whatsoever of the goalkeeper here.
Classic playing out from the back as well, because Porto were piling the pressure on Szczęsny thereafter and the whole Juventus defence, to be fair. And the second goal, Robbie Savage did say, can Szczęsny do better at the near post? Moussa Marega nipping in.
I don't think so. I think that, yeah, it's a bit of an awkward dive. I'd say that. I don't think he's necessarily gone down in the way in which he would have wanted to. It was in installments, really. It was almost as if he couldn't decide whether to go with his foot or go with his hand. And in the end, it's kind of foot and then hand and then body. And he ends up landing sort of backwards. So it just looks awkward. But I think when he's that close in, there isn't necessarily a near post or a far post. And I think this beats most goalkeepers. It's just one of those things where it doesn't look great, but I don't think there's a great deal he can do.
Quick stat.
Go on.
That was the first goal that Porto had conceded at home in the Champions League this season. Mm. Fact, it was the first goal they'd conceded since a 3-1 defeat in the opening group game against Manchester City. Very impressive. Right? A combination of Agustin Marchesin and Diogo Costa.
Interesting. Great stat. Thank you, Matthew.
Barca 1, PSG 4. Mm. A possible changing of the guard game here, if you were to factor in the opposing fortunes of Lionel Messi and Kylian Mbappe. But we're not going to talk about them. Mm. No, we're not. We're going to talk about Keylor Navas, who always seems to have a good game against Barcelona. Seems to enjoy playing against them, doesn't he? So many battles playing for Madrid over the years. And on the penalty, to begin with, Ian Dark, this was scored by Lionel Messi, said no goalkeeper in the universe is saving that. I just want to get your opinion on this because it was a brilliant penalty, and rarely do you see a penalty that goes right up into the top bins saved by a goalkeeper. I can't even think that I ever have seen a penalty of that nature saved by a goalkeeper. But Ian Dark then went to Glenn Hoddle for clarification, and Hoddle basically then went on to say that no way would any goalkeeper and goalkeeper coach work in trying to save that on the training ground. He basically said, if you've got a goalkeeper, and he speaks to his coach on the training ground, and they say, right, we're going to work on penalties, they're never saying, let's work on penalties that go into the top corner.
Right, where do I start here? Because I think one of the interesting things, it is a good penalty, don't get me wrong, I think it beats most keepers. And the reason I say that is that I think ordinarily when you're going for a penalty, you either stay in the middle, you dive right, you dive left. Now, the angle of your dive normally wouldn't be too high because there's a great chance it's going to go on the floor and you want to make sure you can get your hand down to make the save if it's below you. If it's mid-height, you save. If it's top corner, you might just be able to get a top hand and push it up over the bar onto the crossbar. The interesting thing with this one is that I think it looks better than it actually is. In that, as the penalty's gone in, you look at this where it is in the goal, where it's actually crossed the line, if that makes sense. It's not right in the top corner, if you ask me. And I'd love to see a snapshot at the moment it's hit the line. So I actually think if a keeper were to dive and maybe get a slightly earlier dive away, then possibly they do save this. So I don't necessarily agree with the comments that were made. In terms of what you practice as a goalkeeper, I think there's a few different things that come to play. Some will go really, really early. But then if you go too early, of course, you'll be beaten by the type of taker that's waiting for you to move and then will put it in the other corner. So there's so many different things you have to consider as to who is taking the penalty.
But do you ever practice leaping high like you would David De Gea? We refer to it all the time. We're going to refer to an Asmir Begovic save later on. Do you ever make that leap from the penalty spot into the top corner?
I don't think you need to. That's the point. I think even if he dives horizontally here and he gets a slightly earlier dive away, that might be one that he gets a top hand to. Because I think in a perfect world, you dive in such a way that you think about it, the ball's always going to be rising from the penalty spot. It's not going to be dipping from the penalty spot. It's always going to be rising. So the point at which it would meet the goalkeeper is not going to be in line with the crossbar. It will be a yard or two below that. So in a perfect world, a goalkeeper's going to dive horizontally, probably hip height, so that he or she can get their hand down and get their hand up. And actually, you still cover the majority of the goal. And my point with this one, look, I know most people are going to say, no, absolutely not. You can't save that. But I think if someone were, maybe we will, get a snapshot of the moment it crosses the line, and then you were to look at a goalkeeper at that point being horizontal, a couple of yards off the floor, a yard off the floor, a hand low, a hand high, you possibly get a hand to this.
Okay, BBC Sport ratings, because I like looking at these. Mm. Get my money's worth. Ousmane Dembele bagged a 5.36. Now, that was still higher than Marc-Andre Ter Stegen at 5.28. Yes, he conceded four, but he made three notable saves. Mm. One from Livin Kozawa, brilliant save at one apiece, and another, the deflected effort from Moise Keane, also at one all.
Yeah, I thought it was excellent. I thought the deflected effort in particular, just the speed of thought, because he started to go. Of course, the deflection then takes it that little bit higher to adjust his body in the way that he did to show the flexibility and the speed at which he moved to get that top hand to claw it away, I thought was excellent. It was a very good save as well down into the bottom corner. And again, I mean, these ratings, it always makes me laugh, these ratings, because we could go into depth about this and speak for the next half an hour about how it's nonsense. Because especially, and I think I've given this example before, but I'll repeat it because I think it's important. I can watch a goalkeeper and you can see the intricate details. You can understand that they've communicated well in that game. They've taken up good starting positions. Their body language has been very good. Their decision-making on when to play and how to play, distribution, they're coming for crosses, they're handling, etc. And I could look at it and they might not have made a great save, but I might give them a 9 out of 10. In the morning, you look in the paper, they get 6. Because they haven't made that great save. Similarly, you can watch a keeper who's had a bit of an iffy day when it comes to distribution, maybe have been a little bit too deep, hasn't necessarily impacted the game, but they save a penalty in the last minute, the team win 1-0, they'll get a 9 out of 10 in the paper the next day. So, look, to me, whenever I hear these ratings, it's ordinarily nonsense.
Okay, I'll continue to bring them up in that case. Thank you, Richard. Just quickly to finish on the Premier League, Sevilla 2, Dortmund 3, Erling Haaland's first goal to make it 2-1. In my opinion, if that's David De Gea and not Bono, he's getting panned.
Possibly. I think for this one, it isn't necessarily a lack of bravery, though. I just think, And again, it's nitpicking, but at the point of impact, there is quite a large gap as to where the ball went. So I don't think he necessarily got himself where he needed to be at the point that Haaland has got his foot to the ball. I think in a perfect world, he would have been that little bit lower. He would have covered or made certainly made a shape that was that bit closer to the ground in order to try and keep the ball out. Whereas what effectively happened was at point of impact, quite a gaping hole, which obviously went through his legs. So that would have been the disappointment. But I think that's one of those where, look, you're talking a split second later, had that touch been a split second later, then maybe he's in a slightly better position to make the save. But once again, for me, it wasn't a lack of bravery with this one. It was just a timing issue.
Okay, there were two games in the Premier League as well, the first of which warranted a voice note. Another one, Richard. This is from Dan, all the way out in Charleston, South Carolina. We stretch far and wide, my friend.
We do indeed.
So Dan has taken umbrage with Jordan Pickford and the third goal scored by Bernardo Silva in Everton's defeat to Manchester City on Wednesday evening. Here is Dan.
I'm sure you guys will be talking about Pickford in the next podcast. But if you look at the two images that I've just sent, which are screenshots from the video clip, the ball travels so far before he moves. It's really, really, really poor goalkeeping, in my opinion, for this goal, the third goal from Man City.
Okay, so Dan there, like you said, is referring to the third goal, and the screenshots he's referring to are from Bernardo Silva at point of impact, pretty much smack bang on the 18-yard line with Jordan Pickford in position, and then the ball just before it reaches Jordan Pickford's palm.
Yeah, I watched this one a few times and it struck very firmly. Firstly, by the way, thank you, Dan, for sending that in. It struck very firmly and it is moving a bit. I think that Jordan Pickford will be a bit disappointed because he does get a full hand to it. And again, without sounding too cliche myself, he does get a full hand to it. And it, for me, his arm isn't fully extended. So if anything, it's within reach. So I think he's tried to parry it round the post and unfortunately hasn't quite made the contact that he wanted to. And it's ended up in the corner. So yeah, I think that Jordan Pickford will certainly feel that on another day he keeps this out. And having watched it again a couple of times, that was my main point, was just the fact that his arm wasn't fully extended. I think if his arm's fully extended and he gets that contact, it goes in the corner, it sometimes happens. Sometimes you get fingertips to a ball and you can't quite keep it out. But I think when you get a firm hand and you've got a slightly bent elbow, I think he would have felt that he could have kept this out.
Good stuff. And yes, thank you for that, Dan. I like that because it's opinion. It's not just a question. He's actually voicing opinion. So if you do have an opinion on goalkeeping, please do send those in via WhatsApp on those voice notes. Also, Burnley's equaliser against Fulham, just to finish on the Premier League and this particular section of the podcast. Ashley Barnes miscontrols, which catches Alphonse Areola off guard. Correct, yes. Right? Not that Areola is out of position.
No chance. Look, for me, this is one where, as the ball's coming through, Areola's watching the striker because, of course, you're waiting for the body language to suggest whereabouts you're going to touch the ball, and he's seeing ahead of time, effectively. Now, if the striker, actually Barnes, you say it was, so if he has a good touch here, I think Areola's onto it because he knows where the touch is meant to go. And the fact that he has such a bad touch, wrong foots Areola, and he tries to recover, but of course at that point it's worked in Ashley Barnes' favour, and it's a simple tap-in.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Richard, if you will.
Yes, Matthew, it is time for the Championship rundown. And once again, a full list of fixtures this midweek in the Championship. We start at Luton. Cardiff running out 2-0 winners. That's 4 wins from 4 for Mr. Dylan Phillips. Played well here. A couple of good saves. An excellent Simon Sluger save, actually, with his top hand going in the top corner. I thought it was a really sharp save. Moved his body well. Got his right hand up in order to parry it round the post. And Dylan made a couple of good saves as well. A tip over the bar in particular. Good pickup late on. And yet another clean sheet. They're going along very nicely in seventh place as it stands. We move on to Preston, who lost 1-0 to Watford. Yet another clean sheet for Daniel Backman. That could be an interesting one. As much as Ben Foster is arguably the standout goalkeeper in the Championship, you do wonder, given the number of clean sheets, and he's playing very well, as to what they'll do there as and when Ben is fit. My gut says that Ben will be back in, given the calibre of goalkeeper he is, but certainly on a fantastic run, really making a name for himself at Watford. Stoke beating Sheffield Wednesday 1-0. It was a defeat for Bristol City, losing 2-0 at home to Reading, and of course that saw the end of Dean Holden's reign at Bristol City. Middlesbrough winning 2-1 against Huddersfield. Very good save here from Marcus Bettinelli. A reaction from a header close in. Did well to move his body, get his hands up and get fingertips to put it wide. A notable save as well from Ryan Schofield here, although not enough as they went down 2-1. Wickham losing 2-1 to Derby. A couple of very good saves here from David Marshall, and one in particular as well from Ryan Allsop on the angle. Came out spread very well. We move on to Wednesday. Coventry 0, Norwich 2. Interesting here, Mark Amorosi didn't start this game. Ben Wilson did. Now, ordinarily, we should be able to say exactly why that is. I can only assume that that is a change due to form. Seems a little bit harsh, given that Mark Amorosi has only been back for a couple of games, hasn't he, since his broken cheek. But it was Ben Wilson in goal. No chance on the 2 goals conceded. And he did make a very good save with his legs from a header in this one. Millwall 2, Birmingham 0. Arguably the best save in this game was from defender Harley Dean, although he did the classic one. I always remember, was it Stephen Taylor, I think it was, did this brilliantly back in the day. And Harley Dean doing a bit of a replica of that, where he's gone down to his left, made a brilliant save with his left hand, and then went down clutching his face for a few seconds before they finally gave the corner and he got away with it. I felt for Neil Etheridge in this one as well. Poor pass back, gone to clear the ball, couldn't quite get there. No mistake here for me. It was just one of those moments. But Millwall did run out 2-0. Worrying times for Birmingham. QPR 2, Brentford 1. An excellent save from both goalkeepers here. Sendy Dieng from distance, ball moving down to his right, showed really good athleticism, very sharp to get down to his right, and a really strong hand away. And David Raya, he's getting a lot of pressure from corners, it feels like, lately. And this was another one. Ball's come in, had to fight to be able to see where the ball is, but made a really sharp save down low to his left. Swansea 1, Nottingham Forest 0. Just the mandatory clean sheet for Freddie Woodman here. And he did make a good save. We touched on a cross that deceived him recently that went into the far post against Man City. And there was another similar one here where he's read it the whole way and did make a very good save. Barnsley 2, Blackburn 1, and finally Bournemouth 1, Rotherham 0. An excellent save here from Asmir Begovic. Shot up into his top left-hand corner, and he got up with his top hand to make the save. When you actually see it from behind, you see it's going right in the top corner. It struck so hard, so he had to get his positioning spot on and show great technique and power in order to get himself up there and put the ball wide.
Very good, Richard. It was a great save. He actually made another save. And this is one of the things now, isn't it, that we're starting to lose saves because of offsides. Now, he made a great save from Matt Crooks. It wasn't a one-on-one. It was a cross that came in. But the spread was fantastic.
Yeah, no, I remember the one. Crooks was trying to steal in, wasn't he, Matthew, to get the ball in the goal. But no, it was a great save. For me, it was actually the bravery, the way in which he came out, spread in the way he did. And actually goes back to the voice note we had earlier in the show to show that kind of bravery in that moment. To me, is exactly what a goalkeeper needs to do. And that probably touches on the point I made earlier. Do you do that in training? Maybe, maybe not, because there is a risk of injury. But as Asmir showed here, came out, great spread, great save.
One last bit in the Championship in that game between Middlesbrough and Huddersfield. Ryan Schofield very nearly punched a post in anger. He conceded that penalty from Ashley Fletcher that he very nearly saved. But a classic case of standing up, being really angry, the post being there right in front of you, and he sort of pulled his fist back and then just pulled out at the last minute.
Probably a good job.
Have you ever done that yourself?
Punched a post?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. It's ridiculous.
Kicked?
Kicked a post, yeah. Yeah. But you always, when you go to kick it, as you get towards the post, you kind of just take the power off it. So it's more of a pass onto the post, not really a kick, because you're going to hurt yourself.
Joe Hart said that, didn't he? What did he say? Mm. He said he perfected the technique, 6 studs right down the middle or something.
That's the one. It's more of a stamp as opposed to a kick. If you go to kick it, you've got no chance. The post is going to win. But if you stamp and you stamp well, then you take some paint off.
Okay, best of the rest in the EFL. Joe Day at the ready again for Bristol Rovers as they beat Portsmouth. Down low to his right to touch a Marcus Harness shot wide. It looked like it travelled through 2 sets of legs before it reached him.
I think it did. It might have even taken a little nick. This was an excellent save. As you say, he got down to his right. It's one of those lovely ones as well, because he's got the smallest touch with his finger, hit the inside of the post, come back out, which makes it look all the better. And the fact they got the win as well, excellent save.
Also saved a penalty in that game from John Marquis. A very good performance from Mr. Day. Ipswich Town goalkeeper Thomas Holy palmed one onto the post from Peter Chioso in a quite dour draw with Northampton. It was 0-0. And this hasn't been credited as a save, but I think it very much was.
Yeah, it has to be a save. Just purely for the fact, and again, you only see one camera angle in a lot of these games now, but just purely for the fact as to how the ball came off the post. There's no way in which it could be shot, hit the post and come off in the way that it did. So 100% he got a hand to this.
Good spread as well from Jonathan Mitchell to save with his feet from James Norwood in a second half brought to life by that Darren Drysdale spat with Alan Judge. You saw that?
I did, yeah. Crazy. And obviously, Judgey was one of my teammates at Brentford, and he's a funny one on the pitch because he'll moan all the time without necessarily being that aggressive. So I found it interesting that he squared up to Judgey as a of all people. But yeah, crazy moment.
Well, he didn't square. Well, yeah, I suppose he did. Anyway, we don't need to comment on that. Blackpool beating Rochdale, but not before Gavin Butzunu pulled off a good stop through bodies from Ellis Sims. Very similar to the aforementioned Raya save against QPR.
Yes, it was, because again, it's tough when you've got that and it's a corner or a cross in and you've got so many bodies in front, and often you just have to make space in order to see what's going on. And how many times has it happened that you make that little bit of space but then the ball ends up going in the other corner? But credit to him, he made the little bit of space, was able to see it, got back on himself, very quick reaction in order to make a very good save.
In the same game, Chris Maxwell, with a clever save from Alex Newby, clean through, didn't get done by the lob. He also tipped over from a Stephen Humphreys free kick, clambered in the net like Galashi.
Yeah, good feat. And actually, I like this save for the fact that he made it look as simple as he did. You know, it's one of those that sometimes there is a tendency, and I was certainly guilty of this once or twice, where you know you might be able to make it look that little bit better, but I just thought he made it look so simple. As you mentioned, the one-on-one as well, very intelligent, read the play, got out close enough, and effectively jumped almost before the shot was taken, knowing what was coming, in order to maximise the height he could get for the lob that was going to go over him. And yeah, for the free kick, brilliant footwork, great tip over, and just landed nicely in the corner of the net.
Good work from Crawley's Glenn Morris to deny Jack Rowles and Elliot Liston what turned out to be a huge victory for Stevenage at the People's Pension, and that was thanks largely to David Stockdale. A few very important saves on his emergency loan from Wickham.
Yep, two goalkeepers. What's the combined age here? Must be 70-odd, I think. You've got two very experienced goalkeepers, two excellent goalkeepers, as you say, two very good performances. Glenn Morris, a couple of good saves, but I want to touch on David Stockdale because he's gone there and he hasn't played a lot of games in recent years and obviously been at Wickham without necessarily getting the game time that he would have wanted. They've allowed him to go on loan and he's had such a huge impact at Stevenage. It's worked out really nicely. I'm sure they're delighted that they brought him in. And two saves in particular. I enjoyed the one in the top corner because, again, it's not often you see goalkeepers catch this type of save, but good power, good explosion, got up there, held it well, and then I thought the penalty save was excellent. The penalty save for me was interesting. This goes back to the unsavable penalty, by the way, because what he's done here is slightly different. He hasn't actually dived straight away. He's taken a step to his right, then he's allowed himself to go, and because the penalty is quite high and it's towards the top corner, he's able to then get himself up and tip it over the bar in the way that he does. But this penalty, I think, beats most goalkeepers, even those that dive to their right.
Okay, just a few more. A double save from Exeter stopper Jokel Andresen stopped two of 31 shots from Newport in what ended as a draw at Rodney Parade. The Grecians conceding with 2 minutes left of normal time. And Matt Jilks of Bolton, fair to say he was at fault for Ollie Clark and Mansfield's opener, but it mattered not as a remarkable comeback from the Trotters saw them leave Field Mill with 3 points. And finally, Ian Henderson's only goal of the game in Salford's win over Barrow. What happened here?
I'm going to touch on the one just before that, the Jilks one in particular, because I've had this very goal that I've conceded. Mine was Darren Ambrose against Charlton. In fact, I think it's still on YouTube somewhere, but where I've gone to my left, slight bit of movement, ended up hitting me on the elbow and going back in the opposite corner. Very similar, where this time he's gone to his right, little bit of movement, it's hit him on the inside and gone back. It's unfortunate. He'll hold his hands up though and know that he could have done a little bit better, but it is just a case of watching the ball the whole way and trying to get two solid hands on it if you can. Sometimes you can't, and unfortunately you're then just reliant on a bit of luck. And in terms of the one that Joel Dixon conceded, it's so difficult because we can't see a different camera angle. We've only got one camera angle. So what it looks like is the defender loses the ball. There's a little bit of time. The striker then gets it and passes it into an empty net. And you're thinking, where is the goalkeeper? Now, my guess, and again, we can't know this because we haven't got the camera angle to show it, would be that the moment your player has the ball on the corner of the box, quite often you will make such a big angle in order for them to maybe pass it square across the box for you to then come onto it in order to play long or to play into midfield or wingers or whatever you do. I think he's just made a significant angle and can't quite get back in time, because in the end, it is a pretty simple finish. And by the time the keeper is in shot, he's still nowhere near the ball, nowhere near the goal.
Well, that's perfect, Richard. I think. Anything more to add?
I think that's another fantastic show.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, keepers.
Away!
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.